What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another episode of the My DJ Story podcast. We have an amazing brother here that's going to share some gems about his story in the DJ industry. Could you introduce yourself? Tell the people where you're from.
My name's Astral Dust, DJ name, and I was born in Louisiana. My dad was in the military, so he traveled around. So I was raised in Florida, Louisiana, Colorado, Oklahoma, and then after I graduated high school, and I moved to Florida, back to Florida. I graduated high school, Oklahoma, moved back to Florida, spent some time there, moved back to Arizona, and then to California.
Wow, a lot of traveling, man, a lot of traveling.
Yeah, I wonder.
Let's see how that connects to your DJ story, and talk to me a little bit about how you got started in the game, and then just go from there.
Okay, so like in 1991, when I started, I graduated high school in 91 and moved immediately to Florida and attended St. Petersburg Junior College. And at the time, you know, the electronic music scene hadn't really taken over the United States yet, you know, still new. And so I wasn't really familiar with it, especially coming from Oklahoma. So when I was in junior college, as part of an electives to do electives, I took up bass guitar, and because I've always been into music, I played trombone in high school, and so I took like 3 or 4 semesters of bass guitar and got my 2-year junior college degree. Moved up to Florida State, wasn't doing so well. Kind of flunked out Florida State. You know, I got a little sidetracked, and my buddy at the time was in Phoenix, Arizona, and he was like, you got to move out here. Right before I moved out there, I had started going to some of the first initial raves that hit the East Coast, the 91, 92. I went to the Zen Festival, I think was the biggest rave at the time in 1992, like 15 or 20,000 people at the Central Florida Fairgrounds. It's where Sasha and Digweed played for the first time. They played in America and all that. And I remember it very specifically because it was the first time we'd ever seen those green lasers, you know, shooting out. And we were like, they were shooting out and we were like trying to touch them and shit. And we were like, wow, this is like far out shit. And it was just like we were on another planet, because prior to that, when we'd go to clubs, they'd be playing like, you know, alternative type music, Front 242, Thrill Kill Cult, industrial type stuff. Nine Inch Nails, even Nirvana at the time. Nirvana came out with their Smells Like Teen Spirit in the year I graduated high school, 91. So we seen all this happening, and we're like, and then, you know, obviously, you know, the ecstasy was part of it, and along with the music, we thought we were on a whole other planet. And that's, you know, that's pretty much what got me distracted from passing school, if you will. And so my homie's out in Arizona. He's like, come out here, you know, I'm here. You set up here and you crash here. I'm like, okay, cool. Because the idea was just to get as closer to California as we could. And so I got out to Arizona, and I got to Arizona, and I remember selling my bass guitar for my first turntable. And so had a little job at an adult boutique, if you will, and, you know, it took me another 9-10 months to save up for my second turntable. So started actually learning to beat mix by ear manually in like about 1995-96, and so that in itself is a challenge, because beat mixing by ear is just a whole nother thing. It took me 2 years till I felt comfortable in front of a crowd mixing. Okay, so that's how long it took me to get the beat mix down to where I felt solid enough where I can go in front of a crowd and do it and not fuck it up, if you will, and look like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. So there was a learning curve there until the digital stuff brought lowered the learning curve, but nevertheless, it is what it is. Through the digital stuff, I have learned that there is a way in which you can show your abilities otherwise. You know, I didn't know that before.
So. Wow, that's awesome, man. So you went and you took your love for music and kind of transitioned that into the DJ industry, kind of after, you know, failing out of college and working at the store to save up for your first turntable. and then you bought your second turntable, and then you were able to, you know, really learn the art of DJing and mixing for 2 years until you got your first gig and start professionally, you know, DJing in front of crowds. Is that correct?
Correct. I did my first couple gigs in Phoenix, and you know, and I was going at the time, you know, at this whole time, keep in mind, this whole time, I'm always school oriented, and it was important for me to always remain in school, even if I was just taking one class at a time. As long as I was progressing forward, even slowly but surely, that was what was, you know, that was of importance to me, because I knew I needed to have an education. However long it may take, I didn't know, but I just knew to keep taking classes to progress, no matter what I failed in. So I was in Arizona at ASU, and you know, again, I passed my calculus sequences there, but I got the itchy fingers, and my head friend I had moved in with at Arizona had moved to San Francisco. And so I'm like, he's like, come on up to San Francisco. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I've moved up to San Francisco. Didn't fail out of ASU, but I at least completed my calculus sequence there. And so went up to San Francisco, crashed and burned there hardcore. That was my first time into California, just crashed and burned, and had to pull back out to some friends in Arizona, regroup. And then about a little more than six months later, I moved out to LA on my own into Hollywood. This is 1999-ish, 2000, and Hollywood was still a shithole. No one came to Hollywood except to buy crack and get hookers at the time. And I only moved to Hollywood because it was Hollywood and it was cheap at the time. And so, and with a stroke of good luck, I went down Melrose Avenue when I first moved out to Hollywood, and applied to a couple actual DJs or record stores, you know, original records, selling, you know, real records. And so I got hired at DMC Records on Melrose. And so during that time, you know, we were slinging records, selling records, and they had a booth set up in the back, and we'd take turns DJing at the while. And, you know, at that time, promoters would come in and buy records and stuff. And I happened to get hooked up with some promoters that heard me mixing at the time in the record store that offered me some gigs in LA. And so I started slowly but surely mixing in LA up to the point to where I was getting some pretty good gigs. I was actually paying my rent on DJ money, just DJ gigs alone, for like the first 3 years I was in LA. I had a residency at the Foundation Room at the top of House of Blues. I played in the Stock Exchange, I guess, you know, downtown. I had a residency there. Had a residency at the Catch One on Pico, world famous, the Studio 54 of the West Coast. So that was all going fine and dandy, and like it looked like it was really going well. So anyway, through that process, I happened to, you know, be hanging out with some, you know, crowds and some cool crowds or whatever you want to call it, and meeting some cool girls and stuff like that. And some of these girls happened to be in the adult industry. And one thing led to another. And the next thing I know, I'm like embedded and knee deep and shooting scenes as a full blown, I don't know other way else how to put it, except porn star, if you will. And
hey, call it what it is, brother. It is what it is.
You know, it was a porn star, and it's not like it was it's amateur or I did something on the internet. It was like, you know, I'm a multiple nominated avian porn star. I've been, not one of my nominations is for best boy girl scene. I have a nomination for best DP scene. Good God. Yeah. I have a nomination for unsung performer of the year, and so on and so forth. So I was in, so, you know, with that being said, it was kind of hard to do DJing, and, you know, I was on set 5, 6, 7 days a week sometimes. And I just couldn't keep up with the DJ thing. I tried, but at that same point in time is when the digital part of the DJ stuff started to come in to effect. So it was no more, you know, and so with being in porn, I really didn't have the time to acquire the skills and to, you know, learn the digital part of it. So that goes along and happens. I still maintain to have my two turntables, you know, at home that I played every once in a while, you know, just because I love music, and, you know, and my favorite part of it is just being able to play music and share it with people. You know, that was important to me. And, you know, even though I didn't get gigs, I'd have some friends over and we'd play. So I was in the porn industry for 12, 13 years. So it's the longest I'd ever done anything in my life. And so as that started to come to an end, I started to see here about, you know, 2014, that, you know, as opposed to working 5, 6, 7 days a week on set, I was only maybe doing 2 or 3. And it really started to hit me that, hey, there's a window on this. You can't do this shit forever. I definitely didn't want to be the 50-year-old punch drunk dude trying to get a blowjob scene, if you will. At the same time, I was too far behind any of the DJ element to be, you know, catch up and get any gigs. I wasn't connected with the promoters anymore, anything like that. So I didn't really have any other talents, you know. I couldn't play. I didn't really have a talent per se, but the only thing I knew that I could do is go back to school. So that's what I did. So in 2013, I started back to school. I had only gotten my AA degree in computer science back in Florida years back. I hadn't even gotten the bachelor's degree yet. So 2013, I apply, I get back to school, I go to Cal State LA. I get my bachelor's degree, and at the time, you know, at the time when I was going back to school, I was like, well, what do I want to major in that I have a genuine interest in that I would be content with doing for the rest of the remainder that I'm happy about doing, as opposed to trying to major in something to make a lot of money. And so I was like, okay, well, what do I like to do that equates? Well, I like to look at maps just for fucking fun. I can look at maps all day just for fun. People call me a nerd, whatever. I don't, you know, but I just love maps. And so that equated to geography. So I'm like, I applied for a geography degree. It was at the time, I didn't even know about GIS. I don't know if you've heard about GIS. It's called Geographic Information Systems. Okay, it's behind the scenes on pretty much every industry today has a GIS component behind it, the way it's mapped spatially. Even on Discovery Channel, when they tag the sharks and they show you where they swim, that's GIS in the background. So I didn't know about GIS until I got into the school. Otherwise, I was just gonna do environmental or urban geography. So since I had a computer science degree before, the idea of maps along with computers, that was it for me. So I did that, got my bachelor's degree in 2015 in geography with a GIS focus, decided to extenuate my effort and apply to grad school. And upon right before grad school, the last semester before grad school, there was this Cal State LA had gotten this grant by NASA STEM. And so I applied for that, and, you know, just on a whim, didn't think I'd get it. A week before I started grad school, I got a call from my advisor saying I got accepted as the first cohort of the 2-year NASA STEM scholarship program. I'm like, we were all through the roof. Anybody who knew me before was asking, how the hell did you do that? How that happened? I'm like, wow. I don't know. So
amazing, man.
So and that was a 2-year thing, and that, you know, I wasn't really working. So that was, you know, giving me, I don't know, $5,000-$6,000 a semester to pay for school. And so that's how I paid for my grad school, because I was in default from my my loans from years ago. So I couldn't get a loan to save my ass. And so I got the NASA STEM thing. I did 3 internships / fellowships at 2 separate NASA facilities, 2 at JPL and 1 at NASA Goddard outside DC. And I put together a manuscript that I submitted for publication. My thesis and study was on atmospheric science, specifically the temporal characteristics of precipitable water vapor at atmospheric levels globally, doing trend analysis on that. Graduated with my master's degree in geography in 2018. And so at the time I'd been so immersed and absorbed in my research, I really hadn't had time to look for a job for after, you know, I graduated. So at the time, the chair at the Department of Geosciences at Cal State LA offered me a, you know, they're like, hey, well, why don't you just lecture some courses part-time, undergraduate courses in geography, until you find something optimal that you want, as opposed to having to just go take a job because I need a job, you know? So I'm like, okay, cool. So I did that. So I'm teaching now. I'm teaching two classes now. But as the pandemic happened, you know, student enrollment went down, and, you know, they start laying off a bunch of teachers. I heard even back east, they're starting to lay off tenured professors. You know, tenured professor, there's tenured professors supposed to stay in place. I'm the last lecturer, one of the last lecturers left teaching at Cal State LA. I didn't think I'd be getting any classes this semester. And so interesting enough, as of yesterday, I've been applying for jobs the last 2.5 years. I've been mainly getting government interviews via Zoom, the last, you know, whatever, since COVID. And as of yesterday, I just got offered my first job outside the university as a GIS specialist with an engineering pipeline oil and gas energy outfit out of Simi Valley. So
wow, man, what a DJ story, brother. This is crazy, man.
So that just happened like yesterday. I just filled out the paperwork for them to do my background check and everything, so I'll be starting there soon. And I'm over the moon with that. Yeah, I've been looking for 2.5 years, and you know, and not only getting hired in California, where in LA where the pandemic's the worst, but just the fact of me getting hired in a pandemic, you know, I'm just incredibly grateful, much gratitude on all that. And that just happened yesterday. So
congratulations, man. Like, this is blowing my mind right now. Like, you've gone from so many different things, so many different states, so many different industries, careers, and DJing has been a part of the whole journey. And now teaching colleges into your next job that you just got yesterday. Wow, brother, you are an amazing man with an amazing story. And I'm super glad that we got to tell the story on the My DJ Story podcast. Like, are you still DJing on the side today while all this is happening?
So what happened was, as you know, and I just want to add real quick that, you know, I didn't intend to be a teacher or anything like that. They just offered that while I was looking. However, doing that made me realize why people go into teaching, because there is a satisfaction you get from teaching kids. You know, kids sometimes will listen to their professors and their teachers more than they listen to their parents. So, you know, and so that was rewarding and satisfying in itself. So I got a lot out of that. Now with the DJ thing, as soon as the pandemic thing happened, I kind of had a sense of that, okay, there's not going to be any festivals, any raves, any gatherings, anything like that for a while. My wife is from East Asia, Korea, and you know, although I was pretty in tune with the protocol of what's necessary to do to masking and distancing for the virus, she tuned me into it even more so, where I'm gold standard on that strict protocol, because there's a reason there hasn't even been just over 500 people die in Korea from this. Okay, because when they say there's a virus on the loose and it's time to wear a mask, everybody puts a fucking mask on. It's not a matter of it's a hoax or a joke or a fucking fake news, or it's just fucking, it is what it is. It's reality. Okay. I'm not based in any type of conspiracy bullshit or anything like that. It's what real is what's real. And that's all there is to it. And so I seen this happening, and I also have a future projection that, you know, I sit on my patio right here in Hollywood, and I've been calling this since last summer. I'm like, this is just going to get really fucking bad, because I see people going by without masks. You know, still to this day, they're still not wearing masks. I'm like, this is just going to be bad, which it's gotten bad. And so With that being said, I realized that they being that bad, at least in this country, you know, there's not going to be any more parties or festivals. I would say, you know, we're going to it's going to be necessary to wear masks and distance for the remainder of this year at the minimum. And so I seen this as a reset for DJing, that everybody's, unless you're a big time superstar DJ already, for all us other DJs, it's a reset, back to one, as they'd say on set. Okay, back to one, reset. And you know, everybody, let's see what you got, because it enables people to see the way in which a DJ DJs, as opposed to being in a crowd and not knowing whether or not he just hit play on a CD. Because that's happened here in Hollywood, down the street at some mega clubs. There's been some of these DJs that were, you know, DJs out of nowhere, never heard from them before, but next thing you know, they're doing big venues. And I heard through the grapevine that, you know, some of them up there just hitting play on a CD and just going like that the whole time. And I always thought it was odd here, you know, several years back, how they were doing that and DJing and never seen a pair of headphones on them. And so it just, you know, I know you can do to a somewhat extent without a headphones now, but back then the technology wasn't in effect where you could do it completely the whole time without headphones. So, you know, I'm like, okay, well, whatever. I didn't try. That's when I went back to school. But now I see it's a reset. So I was able to collect some money, unemployment money, because when I was teaching, I was just considered part-time lecturer. So I was qualified for the EDD benefits. So I'm like, shit, well, what's a DJ do when he has a lot of money? They buy DJ equipment. Screw everything else. So I went out and I updated myself. I got me another, multimedia player. I got me a new mixer, all up to date, the Pioneer stuff. I got me it's all behind me, all set up. I got the controller, the XP2. I got some new speakers, got the webcams, the whole nine yards. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this and just see what happens. And just the fact that, you know, whether anything happens or not, what's important to me is that, like I said before, I like to play music and I like to share it with people. And this is one way with the streaming in which to play music from your own home and share it with people, because people tune in and watch it. And that's what's important to me. So that's kind of where I'm at today with it all.
Man, that's amazing, brother. This is a fantastic story about how DJing has played a role in this entire journey. And you made sure that your passion for DJing was never altered or altered due to anything else going on in your life, man. How do you feel? Like, how do you feel right now accomplishing everything?
I mean, like if we were to have this Zoom interview like a few days ago, I'd have a different response. But just the fact that I just got offered a job yesterday, I'm elated. I'm over the moon. And I'd like to also say that just as important as the DJing was, it was still equally important to me to maintain, to continue the education route as well. So, because I know if I don't make it as a DJ, I need the education part to fall back on. And it's hella hard to get a job right now without a degree, much less with a degree. And, you know, I'm glad I went for the master's degree, because I think that's what's made the difference. Obviously, I wouldn't have been able to teach or offered the teaching position without the master's degree. So, and it was a huge effort that master's degree and doing those JPL and internships and doing that kind of studying and statistical learning. And that's heavy duty stuff. My ass got sore sitting down from studying statistics and learning the code for so long. It was the biggest ambition and effort I've made in anything, pretty much. It was a huge effort. It was incredibly challenging, but I pulled it off, and now it's all starting to become very much worth it, so to speak.
And congrats to you, man. You made it happen. I'm super excited to be in touch with you and to follow your journey, because this is always the beginning. Yeah. You got a lot ahead of you, man, and it's super exciting to hear this story, from DJ to porn star to student at the university, at the graduate level, to now professor and a new role And I forgot NASA, working with NASA, you know, you just have gone so far. And I'm just super impressed with what you've accomplished. And it just shows that you can go anywhere as a DJ. If you have drive, if you have passion, if you have a vision of the things that you care about and the things you want to do in life, you can achieve it. And that's what's so unique about DJs. Like, all DJs have a story. And I tell everyone, DJs are the most interesting people on this planet, from the people that they have met, from the things that they have done in life, through the opportunities that they've come across. Like, all DJs have a story, and we want to hear it here on the My DJ Story podcast. So I appreciate you for sharing your story. One of the best stories I heard so far.
You know, you made a good point also, and in as much that you can do through this experience, you know, the NASA and all of it, I realized that, you know, as our parents used to tell us when we were growing up, you can do anything you want to, as long as you put your mind to it, if it's in within your physicality, meaning that, you know, I'm only 5'6". Will I ever be able to slam a basketball? No. But, you know, if you can do anything you want, as long as you put your mind to it. And I have realized that more than ever in the last several years, that, you know, if you want to do it and you put your mind to it and set yourself in the right field effect and have the integrity and maintain the integrity to do it. It's all about integrity too. You have to maintain your integrity. That's the balance. That's what measures your field effect, what you get back positively or negatively. And so anybody has to set their sight on anything, by all means, go for it, and you can definitely get there.
Wow. Amazing advice, brother. Are you ready to jump into the lightning round?
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Software is Rekordbox, and I was going to go Tracker, but I seen that Rekordbox is probably kind of, and it was a good move because Tracker just got sold. So I went Rekordbox. I got two Techniques, 12 tens. I got the DJM 750 mixer, 4-channel, and I got the multimedia XDJ 1000. I got the controller XP2. I got just got me into some new JBL speakers too. They're all wide. They're pretty tits. And so and then I got what else I got. I got the audio interface, and then my next purchase will probably be, I don't know. There's so much things, that's what I'm going off of right now. So, and I'm mainly going tech house. I do tech house, drum and bass, and trap.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Oh, besides myself, that's funny. I'm old school throwback, so an old school throwback house. So I'd have to say something like Mark Farina, you know. So Mark Farina, maybe I like Gene Ferris, Lil Louie Vega. You know, I'm old school. You know, we're going way back. Doc Martin, as far as West Coast.
What has been your favorite party or event that you've DJed at, and why?
I DJed here in LA. Well, it'd have to be down at the Exchange downtown before it was, you know, super popular. We were talking circa 2002. And it was exciting because, you know, it was 2,000 people. And it was the first time I played to a crowd that big. And the DJ booth was way up at the top. I don't know if you've been at the Exchange. The Exchange downtown is the old LA stock exchange that they converted into a club. You know, it's a big time thing right now. Back then, it was just starting out. And I was DJ booth up way high. And I'm just looking down at the 2,000 people and playing the music. And I'm like, well, that was the rush.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Interesting person met through DJing. Probably, I can't, let's see here. That's a good one. There's so many interesting people I've met. I can't.
You can just throw them out.
Doc Martin, you know, Doc Martin's really cool. I've been going to Doc Martin parties, underground Doc Martin parties here since I moved here. I've been 20 years. you know, going in. He lets me, you know, actually he just lets me mob up and stand behind the booth with him and check it out anytime. We're pretty tight. I used to think those things that they put on the vinyl to weigh it down so it doesn't skip. I used to think those were to cover the artist and label so other people could see what the DJ was playing. So he's the one who tuned me on that.
What's one thing you hate about live streaming as a DJ?
Oh man, like the complications and like all the process of trying to get it all streamlined to work effectively. You know, it's way easier said than done. No, I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's not like a flip a switch and hey, you're streaming. It takes a minute to get the stuff coordinated and putting together and all that. It's, yeah, for sure. I'm sure everybody has that problem.
Shout out DJs you know personally whose story should be shared on this podcast.
Definitely Doc Martin. And then I got a couple friends. Well, they don't really DJ as much anymore, but my friend DJ Cam, I can refer them to you, DJ Cameron. They're all trying to find, you know, they're looking at different platforms. They've been streaming off Reddit. They turned me on to Reddit. I turn on a Mixcloud. Mixcloud, and they're still too nervous to get on or whatever, anything. But it's just some, you know, local friends that, you know, most of the DJs I'm still in contact about now, with the exception of Doc Martin, are, you know, just, you know, bedroom DJs, if you will, that, you know, still like to just play, just to play. My friend Cam's got still got a record collection of 2,000 records. So, you know.
And where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Well, there's no events going on right now in LA to find me at. There won't be for a while, but for the time being, you can find me on Mixcloud. Astral Dust, Mixcloud / Astral Dust. My Instagram is Astral Fucking Dust. So it's ASTRAL.FKN.DUST. That's the Instagram. I mean, you know, what the hell? I don't know. And then Twitter is Astral Dust, and then Twitch is Astral Dust Lounge, I believe. I think I got most of those covered. Yeah.
Awesome, brother. Hey, man, this was an amazing interview. I'm really glad that you got to share your story on the My DJ Story podcast. I'm sure people are going to love this, and I'll probably reach out to you with questions and want to hear more details about your story, man. Thank you for your time.
For sure. Thanks for having me, Daryl. Talk to you soon.
All right, brother. Take care.
All right. Peace.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club Virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.